Joseph, the Antichrist will sign a covenant for 7 years, and then we read that he will also break it. Why is he breaking it if he's the one who signs it?
Well, the Antichrist is actually the devil in the flesh, okay? We see in Revelation chapter 9 that he's called Apollyon, and Abaddon means destroyer. He comes from the bottomless pit. He's actually a demon. It's a spirit of a demon who possesses these ungodly politicians, which become the Antichrist, you know? So basically, he's a devil. See, he never wants to make a covenant. It's just a trick to acquire authority. He makes it for the purpose of breaking it, okay? Just like when Hitler, it is true. Look, if you read in history, Ribbentrop and Molotov, they were the two foreign ministers of respectively Germany and Russia, and they made a treaty of non-aggressions between Russia and Germany. They made a treaty. And as soon as Hitler made the treaty, he attacked Russia. You understand? First he made a treaty of non-aggression, then he aggressed. A treaty of peaceful, and then they were trying to divide Europe. Hitler tossed Finland to Russia. Russia invaded Finland, ripped off Finland. So, without Germany complaining, so then Germany attacked Poland and Czechoslovakia, and the Czech Republic, and so Russia didn't complain. And then when Hitler ripped off as much as they attack Russia. He makes a covenant because he has convenience, also because the whole world is pushing for it. But in his heart, you can see in Daniel 11, I think in verse 30, he says, talking about the Antichrist, his heart shall be against the Holy Covenant, and he shall have intelligence with them who forsake the Holy Covenant. Okay? And then next scripture, verse 21, it says, the armies shall be on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary, the temple, with strength and militaries, and they shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that makes desolate.
So you're saying...
provokes the tribulations.
You're saying the Antichrist signs the 7-year covenant just for some political reasons. He has his own interest, and that will for sure extend his influence a lot. But what's his real goal? You were mentioning he signs it so he can break it because he has some interest. What does he want to do?
Well, his real goal is to become the king of the world, to become the god of the world. He's really the devil in the flesh, and he just wants to take over everything, you know. And he provokes war after war. We count exactly 5 major world wars in the history of the Antichrist. 5 big wars in Daniel 11, from 21 until 45. It's all about the Antichrist. Also in Revelation 8.
War with who? Sorry.
Well, it's between the king of the south and the king of the north. See, Daniel 11 talks about the king of the south and the king of the north to begin with. He's talking about for the last 2,000 years of world history. But starting from verse 21, he talks exclusively about the Antichrist. And he still calls him the king of the north. It's in parable. You know, because we know that he comes from Magog, Russia, he comes from Europe, this and that, so the king of the north. The king of the south, automatically, since we know for sure that the king of the north is the Antichrist, so-called, is also called like this in Ezekiel 38. And so if we are sure he's the king of the north, also because he comes from Magog. We see that in Ezekiel 38. Magog, you can see in the old maps, I have a few, Magog is Russia. So if he comes from Russia, which of course we join with Europe, we know that by Daniel chapter 7. So automatically the king of the south can only be Israel, understand? And Israel and America, which is the supporter of Israel.
So all these wars will be between the Antichrist and Israel supported by America?
Yes. Revelation 16, it talks about the king of the east will come, which that's China, that's Pakistan, that's Afghanistan, that's Indonesia, they are Muslim countries. We see in Ezekiel 38 that the Muslim will follow the Antichrist, and there will be, the world is going to be divided in the in these two blocks.
Now, this 7 years, which this covenant he's going to sign, it's going to be totally in his interest because it's going to promote him all over the world and he's going to gain lots of reputation and influence. So why is he breaking it?
Well, he breaks it because he's not satisfied with Israel and America on one side and Russia, Europe, and the Muslim on the other side making peace. He wants them to make war because you see that in the three horsemen of Revelation, the second, the third, and the fourth, or Revelation chapter 6, they go around provoking wars, death, famines, destructions. 1 Peter 5:8 and 9, it talks about the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. See, the devil goes around as a lion trying to bring everybody to hell. The devil is not interested in peace. He provokes wars. Understand? So for him, it's like wars is just a means to an end. It's just a way to reorganize things the devil's way. So the seven-year covenant, he has to make it because the whole world wants it. But in his heart, he doesn't. He just wants to make war and destruction. He wants to be the slave driver, the king of the world. He wants to be the devil, the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the devil is the god of this world. You understand? He wants, through false peace and through wars, he climbs to world's authority, and that's it. Because he wants to control humanity. Why? Because he hates humanity. He wants to bring humanity to hell. Because humanity was created superior than the devil. You know, the devil, when he was created, he was not made in the image of God. So he hates humanity because we are superior. Even though now we are fallen, thanks to our dear Adam and Eve, we are down to nothing almost. Okay. Nevertheless, in the origin, we were like much superior than Lucifer and the other angels, because we differently than the rest of the angels, we are created to God's image. So the devil hates that. And okay, like Paul said, don't you know that we shall judge angels? We will judge angels. In fact, the fallen angels.
Amen. And what will happen after the breaking of the covenant?
Well, after the breaking of the covenant, he will be hell on earth. Because the breaking of the covenant, we see that in Daniel 11:31. And the next four scriptures, 32 until 35, it talks about the consequences of these breakings. And it's going to be persecution against the Christians. The Christians are going to be killed, tortured, burned. It's all there. It also, verse 32 talks about they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That will be the day where the 144,000 will stand up and sock it to the Antichrist. And it will be the days of the two witnesses of Revelation 11 who will send fire against the Antichrist forces. They will be in Jerusalem prophesying for 3.5 years. So it's going to be a tribulation, but it's like...
Where does it say this? In what scriptures?
Well, like I said, Daniel 11:31-35, also, this is a parallel of Luke 21, Mark 13, and especially Matthew 24. There are three big chapters. It's all about this period, the Great Tribulations. Revelation 13, Revelation 11, 12, 13, also parts of Revelation 14. It talks about the Antichrist, the false prophets, the image of the beast, the beast that comes from the sea, the Antichrist, the second beast that comes from the earth, the false prophets.
Oh, all these things, will you explain them to us, maybe?
Yes.
The false prophet and the abomination, the image of the beast.
Yes, right now, this I'm talking about the breaking of the covenant. These are a bunch of big topics which we'll get back to.
Okay.
Amen.
So after the breaking of the covenant, the Christians will be persecuted?
Yes, because the true Christians are going to be illegal, and the only accepted, recognized Christianity will be those who receive the mark of the beast, will be those in whose building they'll be praising this great leader, just like the many churches in under Stalin that were just praising Stalin more than Jesus. In the churches of China today, they have to praise the communism. So this kind of Christians in quotes, Christians, of course, false Christians, will receive, nominal Christians will receive the mark of the beast. The ones who receive the mark of the beast, the nominal Christians, will be accepted, okay? They will join together with the Buddhists, the Hindus, etc., the Muslim. But the persecution against Christianity is not going to be against all the Christians. The nominal Christians are going to be protected by the Antichrist because they're false. The persecution will be against the Christians who are not recognized, who don't have tax exemptions, whose religions are not based on some religious buildings, but is based on the Spirit of Christ. This will be persecuted because he's going to say, you guys are not recognized, just like they are persecuted in China. They're not recognized.
How come you were mentioning the Antichrist will persecute the Christians after he breaks the covenant? Before he won't? Like, soon as he signs it, he's still the devil in the flesh also before. Why he doesn't persecute the Christians only after?
He cannot persecute the Christian before as extensively because he doesn't have the authority to do that. You see, already the devil has persecuted the Christians in China and the Muslim countries. In so-called free places like America, you cannot preach the gospel in the schools, you cannot have the Ten Commandments in the squares, you cannot preach the gospel in the university campuses. And the Christians really persecuted in every country according to the style. I was in Poland in a mission for 3 years, and there the Catholics are persecuting the Protestants. It's like the Protestants are completely a sect. Okay, if you go to Protestant places, such as Denmark, where my wife is from, the Catholics are a sect. You know, it's like they are like the villains. Oh, you're Catholic, you must be a stupid idiot. So the devil is using different forms of Christianity to persecute whoever is in minority. But this will come, the day will come when he will persecute all the Christians in every place. He will make the true Christian look like stupid, you know, like fanatics, etc. And he will praise and encourage and tax exempt those Christians, the nominal Christians, who will accept him as a good leader, just like the Christians in Stalin Russia, communist Russia, in today's China, in the Eastern European bloc, those official churches, most of whom were praising communists, were praising Ceausescu, Stalin, Tito, Lenin, Mao Zedong, etc., etc. So those nominal Christians, in exchange for a little tax exempt, you know, to pay the taxes, a lot of them were selling their soul to the devil and telling everybody that Stalin was a good guy. So the same thing is going to happen, only that it's going to be another leader, which we'll find out the name soon, because I think we're approaching the time. And they will praise this great leader. Is not going to be called the Antichrist. It will be an Adolf Hitler, a Joseph Stalin, a Mao Zedong, etc., a Pol Pot. All these guys, in their days, they were very popular, very loved. People were going to fight their war, send their children to die for them. Understand? So basically, the Revelation 13 talks about the whole world worshiping the beast. It's going to be a worship. It's not on their knees crossing, etc. It's going to be a worship the same way Hitler was worshipped by Nazism and Stalin by communists. Political worship. I mean, anybody will send their children to die or themselves to go fight wars, kill and be killed in the name of a dictator, that's more than worshiping. I mean, that's much more than most Christians are doing for God.